KFNC Mont Belvieu, Houston. You're listening to The Bench on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's John Granato and Lance Zierlein.
Well, we're talking some college football. Tom, just hold on or give us a call back. You and Frank can both get back in here because we're going to bring in Cole Kubelik. He played center at Auburn, and now he's at WJOX in Auburn.
In Birmingham,
and he's on the SEC network as well. And
he's also with me on, he's one of the kind of the, not founding members, but he's a big part of the Joe Moore Awards, where we do the top offensive lineman. He was there when they gave the award to LSU's offensive line last year. And he's a guy that I speak to on a fairly frequent basis. He joins us right now. And like John and I mean, he's got a lot of skins in the game as well in terms of needing, I say that, I mean, look, all of us in sports, we want to see sports. We rely on it for our living, to feed our families. It's what we talk about. It's what you guys listen to. And Cole also is involved in television with the SEC Network. And at this point, the SEC is standing firm in their desire to play football, and ACC is with them, and the Big 12 is with them. And joining us now is Cole Kubelik. And Cole, the news yesterday, I know that on our text string that we're on, you know, we've kept up with this. We've talked about this. The MAC shut it down. The Mountain West shut it down. It looked there for a second like there was a chance the Big Ten and Pac-12 might have a change of heart, but they did not. They shut it down yesterday. What are your thoughts right now about the likelihood of the SEC and the other two conferences, ACC and Big 12, playing football this year?
Oh, I'm not going to tell you that it's 80-90% like it was about a week ago, but I still am more confident that we get some football this fall than I'm not. I think the Big 12 is critical. I think the news yesterday from the Big 12 was massive. I think it was must-have. Before the Pac-12 joined in with the Big 10, and that happened basically on the same day, I would have told you that the SEC, Lance, really only needed one dance partner. And that the SEC probably could have gotten away with just the ACC and then a group of five or two, even if it was a skeleton crew from, say, the Sun Belt and the American, or American and Conference USA, or maybe even all three of those, where, you know, 60-70% of the leagues decide they're going to go out and play. And I would say, I think they're good. I think they can go. I think they can make it happen. Now I think that they probably need the Big 12. And I thought the news yesterday that the Big 12 said that they're going to continue to push forward. Listen, they're not guaranteeing a season, and I don't think you have to right now. And that's the most mind-boggling part about the Big 10 and Pac-12's decision. Listen, I'll just be perfectly honest with you. This is my opinion based on conversations I've had. I didn't expect the Pac-12 to play football this fall. I just didn't. And then when you had the We Are United thing come around, I think that only really gave them more of a reason to say this is probably not a good idea. We should shut this thing down, and maybe we'll give it a shot in the spring or next year. The Big Ten is the one that surprised me. And a lot of people pointing fingers at Kevin Warren right now. I personally don't think Kevin Warren made that decision. I think it was way over his head. And it may have even been over the head of the presidents and chancellors of the schools in the Big Ten. But that was a decision that was made at much higher levels than I think he had any control over. So you can be mad at him and point fingers at him, but I'm not going to necessarily place all the blame in his lap. I do think that we still get football this fall. I think people are going to be really surprised if it comes out, what's been happening from a cardiovascular testing perspective and procedure perspective of what SEC and ACC schools are doing and have been doing for quite some time. And that's for every student athlete. That's not just around COVID-19. That's since the 90s. And I think there are some schools out west, Lance, that haven't been doing that stuff. And hadn't been doing it to the extent of some of these other leagues. And now they panicked, and now they got scared, and now they're a little bit nervous about things. But when you haven't had the same kind of protocol in place, or the protocol to the extent that some other schools like they have in the ACC and the SEC have had, I can understand why you would get nervous, because you haven't been monitoring the things that other conferences and other schools have been monitoring for a long time that gives them that level of comfort.
Yep. That's that, yeah, the heart rate thing that the, you know, the players wear, and they know exactly how much.
Catapult stuff.
Yeah, absolutely. And that has been going on. I don't know. Yeah, I don't know what the Pac-12 has been doing. How do you think, let's say that it goes off, okay, there's some hiccups, but we get through the college football season for the SEC and the ACC and the Big 12. How does the Big 10 come out looking after this?
Not good. I think, boy, there are multiple rabbit holes that we could go down with this, but let's just start with transfers. I talked to multiple Power 5 head coaches that are still planning to play football this fall last night and this morning, and their DMs were flooded with guys that are already looking to get out of the Big 10 and the Pac-12. The numbers game that's going to have to be played across all of college football for the next 5 to 7 years is going to be one that I have no idea how they're going to relegate it. You're talking about recruiting. There's already been decommits, both publicly and privately, from Big Ten and Pac-12 schools. Are they going to be able to sign the same caliber kid and be able to bounce back? I think one thing that none of us are spending enough time talking about, and once you guys get off the phone with me, Lance would be a perfect voice to continue this conversation, is the development of college football. And that's not just pointing a finger at the Big Ten or the Pac-12, but they could be seeing a more severe issue with this for the next 3 to 5 years. Guys, we just missed a spring football. These guys think they're going to play again in the spring, and something happens and they don't, which most people don't believe that they will. I think they can, but if they don't, even if you did play in the spring, you're going to get a compressed season of only conference games, which means your redshirt freshmen, your young guys, that redshirt rule that we all peed our pants about last year and we thought was so good, that's pretty much non-existent because you're going out and trying to win conference games. They're probably going to be competitive, and you're not going to have guys that are getting a fourth quarter of play or a second half of play. Second, third, fourth string guys aren't getting a lot of reps. Well, then you're not going to have spring football again, and that's where your development takes place. Well, if you have a spring football season, next fall is also going to be affected, which means they're going to be walking on eggshells and tiptoeing through fall practice. Contact's going to be limited. You're going to have to shrink the season again because you're going to have to start it late. And I ask you again, where does the development come? Where are your younger guys, your redshirt freshmen? Where are the backups? Where are the walk-ons who might be able to impress you? Where's the walk-on who gets a couple reps in the fourth quarter of a game and opens the coach's eye and they say, you know what, we should give that guy some reps in the spring. He might can give us 10 or 12 reps a game come next year. He might be able to turn into a fourth-year, fifth-year guy who can help us and be someone that's just not a special teams player. That development is going to be absent. It's going to be gone, and we've already seen a severe lack of development, especially on the offensive and defensive lines over the last few years because teams are playing fast, teams are spreading the football out, and there's not as much emphasis on that portion of the game as there has been the previous decade. So I think development is going to be critical. If I'm the Big Ten team right now, I take the UAB model from a couple of years ago when I know I'm not going to have a season, and I start taking every kid possible that I think is a player that I know is going to have to sit out a year. I get him in school now, and I say, you know what? You know you got to sit out a year, but you're going to be on a Big Ten roster the next year, and we're going to be able to play football.
And you know something.
And there's a bunch of those in the transfer portal right now.
Yeah, it's that's one of the reasons why Barry Alvarez talked about the fact that, hey, they're still doing – they believe – it sounds like, listen to Barry Alvarez, they believe their spring is going to be in the fall where they are going to continue to work. They're going to continue development phase. But I think it was you that I saw mention this. What player is going to sign up for that long in terms of a developmental phase for that long? Like, is that something that is viable? Do you think it's viable that they say, look, let's just do our developmental stuff here in the fall. Let's treat this like the spring. We'll treat the spring like the fall. And then maybe the Big Ten and the Pac-12 have to say you can only play 8 games in 2020, in the fall of 2021, provided everything gets back to quote-unquote normal. Maybe they say you're limited in the amount of games you can play. You have to pick games that you have, you know, every player has to set out a minimum of 2 games.
Yeah, it's a great point. And I think it depends right now on how you sell it to your kids. If you're selling it to your kids that, hey, we're going to go out and practice every day because we can, that probably won't go over very well. And I was being a little bit sarcastic when I said yesterday, yeah, who's signing up for a 7-month preseason camp?
Right.
Now, not that I think that they're going out and necessarily holding the same type of practices that you would leading into a season, but still, you know, where's the light at the end of the tunnel? I think fans and people who cover football lands, they sort of forget that the goals of a football team and a football player are kind of like a stepladder. They're stepladder goals. You know, it's win the play, win the series, win the quarter, win the half, win the game, win your division, win your conference, win a championship. It's not just show up and win everything. And I think a lot of times if you're going through spring football, you know, okay, we got 12 contact practices. We got to get better. We got to go out. We got to bust our ass, and we got to make these count. Okay, you show up for fall camp. We got 2 weeks of this, and then we got a game week, and then we start a season. So you know how that's going to operate. You show up in the summer, and you go through summer workouts. It's going to be 2-3 months, whatever it's going to be. You're going to have your conditioning test at the end of this, and then we're going to be done. Winter workouts. We got 9 days that you're going to show up over the next month, and you're going to do some ridiculous stuff that's going to make you throw up, and it's going to be miserable, but then you're over it, we're done. Then we're going to start our weight program, and we're going to max out here in 2 or 3 months. It's all regimented. It's all scaled. All those goals are set in a way that stepladder is going to be taking small steps to reach the bigger goal. You can't just go out and randomly do certain things without dangling that carrot. That carrot of games is now gone. And so with that carrot being gone, why should these kids stay inside the protocol that they've been staying in? Yeah, Ohio State announced that they're going to continue to test guys, but is every Big Ten school going to continue to test players?
No.
I'm not sure they're going to put forth $1.5 million for the next 3 months just to make sure guys don't have COVID-19. And it's not like kids aren't going to be going to bars. It's not like they're not going to be chasing girls. It's not like they're not going to be at house parties. They most likely are going to be because those students are also going to be back on campus. You can have a glorified spring practice over the next few months, but you better understand how to sell it to your kids the right way, because a lot of them are hearing the message in the media, but they're probably not getting a spring season no matter what. So a lot of kids just aren't going to want to sign up for it. And then a lot of them that, like the Penei Sewells and the Justin Fields and the guy who could walk away, sign with an agent right now, go train for the draft, they're probably not going to want to hear it anyway. So I think it depends on how you sell it to your players. You do need the development. The practice can be valuable, but just to say, hey, we're going to go out and we're going to get some inside drill, or we're going to go fundamental periods, or we're going to have some task scale just because we can, I don't know if many players are going to be excited or even sign up for that.
What about the XFL? Do you think that some of these guys, the fifth-year seniors or guys that are pro potential, maybe not there, maybe not, they're not being looked at as draft guys right now? Is this a better route for? Is it a possibility that the XFL would be a better route for them this spring?
Well, it depends on how quickly they could pull it together, and I don't know if that's possible. You know, I worked XFL games for ESPN last year, and I had conversations with Oliver Luck, and I said, "Man, you got to open it up." Even if it's 1 year out of high school, that's going to be the way for you to get the talent that you need. And you know, I think if you're talking about high school talent down the road, to be able to say you can sign a 3-year deal with us, make $65,000-$70,000 a year, and then you're going to be draft eligible, that's going to be an avenue where they can win. As far as putting it together this particular spring, I think some of the complications that you run into there with the higher profile guys is, the combine's still going to be in that period of time. The draft's going to be right after that, and then
seasons in the fall. You got
a month or two right after that.
Same issues of spring to fall. It's the same issues. It wouldn't be the top guys. There's another.
But they did get guys signed from this spring,
but not major, not the main guys. And Kenny Robinson, you're talking about, but I mean, he was kicked out of football. He was kicked out of school.
Yeah, but it's still doable. PJ Walker, there were plenty of guys. There were five.
Oh no, you sign them, but how are you? If you think that it's hard to go from spring to fall, you're still going spring to fall, whether it's in college or whether it's pro. It's the same physical concerns where no one's going to want to get hurt with a knee injury in the spring, and you're done for that for two seasons. But the other one that came up yesterday, I don't know if you saw this. It's called the Spring League, but they want to play in the fall. They want to create a bubble, have, I think, 8 teams, and they want to take everyone who's cut from NFL rosters, give them a chance to play in this league, and pull players who want to get out of college football and go have a season in this bubble. It's basically trying to poach Pac-12 and Mountain West and the Big Ten. They want to basically, you can tell, pull together a league that takes these players, give them an option in the fall, and then take the cut players from NFL teams and say, look, here's your big chance. And it looks like, I don't know if they can pull it together fast enough, but it looks like that's the same thing. It's a race for them to be, hey, we want to be the minor league of the NFL, where
that's the league that the agent out in California started.
Well, now this one is he's in New York. His name is I have to get his name here. He played football at West Virginia, but he's actually in New York. So it's not the same. It's a different guy. I'll have his name is Brian Woods.
He better have some legit corporate money behind him.
You're going to have some major money.
Oh my God, put eight teams in a bubble?
So
he'd have doing that in the next month or so.
Mark Cuban behind him.
He's the CEO and general counsel of the Spring League. It's called. They've been in existence since 2006. He was a CEO and commissioner of something called the XFFL. He's executive director of the Medal of Honor Bowl. Like, this is a guy who tries to start football things up. So I don't know if it'll be successful. He also worked with the Jets for 2 months as a salary cap analyst. So vice president, head of football of High School International. Like, a proven record of successfully negotiating player contracts in the NFL, CFL, and Arena League. He tries to get stuff started up. It's an interesting concept. He knows if he goes into this actual spring, he's up against the XFL, and he won't win that battle.
Yeah.
So he's basically trying to find a way to create an alternate fall league.
He's got a lot to do the next month.
Yeah, and you got a lot of money, you better.
Yeah, right. You bet. All right, Cole, man, great stuff. We really appreciate it. Hope the SEC network, man, you guys are going to be flourishing again if this gets going, and the SEC is going to be leading the way once again. That's great stuff, and best of luck with your radio gig as well. Cole Kubelik right here on ESPN 97.5. Thanks, we appreciate Cole. You being
Thanks,
with
God.
Us. All right, there's Cole Kubelik, and here's Lance Loken. And Lance Loken is the best real estate. Now, it's an agent. It's a group. All right. It is the number one group in Texas and number two in the world for Keller Williams. That is Keller Williams Platinum is the standard bearer for all of the real estate agents as well. So this is telling you something about these guys. What they try to create at the Loken Group is they try to create an auction style for your house. They have access to so many buyers. And oh, by the way, listen, there's more buyers out there than there are sellers right now. So if you're thinking about selling your home, this is a wonderful time with the interest rates so low. People want to buy homes right now and you could sell your home. Why don't you go to thelokengroup.com, Loken, thelokengroup.com. And see for yourself, 281-861-4624. There's so many success stories about it, 13 showings and 4 offers of their home, and they had to get out of there, and they got $6,500 over what they wanted. This is happening all the time with the Loken Group. These are the people that you go with. And, oh, by the way, if you don't want to go through all the rigmarole, they'll make you an immediate cash offer. They guarantee that they're going to sell your home. And if they can't, they're going to get out, no questions asked, and no contract. It's it. Listen, you are going to love dealing with the Loken Group because they're going to get you more money for your home. If you're looking to sell your home or buy a home, thelokengroup.com, 281-861-4624.
Stay up to date with the latest innovations hitting the city of Houston by visiting innovationmap.com or follow them on any of your social media platforms. Just search Innovation Map.
At Cordell & Cordell, we focus on representing men in domestic relations cases.
Attorney CPA Joe Cordell.
We recognize that our clients are going through perhaps the toughest time they will ever go through. We understand that everything that's important to them is on the table. Their assets, the role in their children's lives. That's an immense responsibility that our clients entrust us with. And we take that very seriously. We've been trained to do that. We've helped thousands of clients before. And it's our hope that you'll choose to entrust us with what's most important to you.
The attorneys at Cordell & Cordell work to help men maximize their role in their children's lives, which includes protecting men's financial means to do so. Contact the domestic litigation firm of Cordell & Cordell to schedule an appointment with one of our firm's Houston area attorneys, a partner men can count on. 832-844-0000. Online at CordellCordell.com. That's CordellCordell.com. Offices in Houston, The Woodlands, St. Louis, and by appointment only in League City.
After years of working with an outdated website, we called SiteJab. Got a great-looking website that converts visitors into leads. Hi, my name's Servando with Air Team Heating and Cooling. Your website's one of the most important features of your business. That's why you should call our web team at SiteJab to get your website. Not only are they based here in Houston, but they have a great customer service process. If you're in the market for a new website, trust me, you want to give SiteJab a call today.
Call SiteJab today for a website you can count on. 713-999-4661 or sitejab.com.
Hey, you got better things to do than think about your electricity bill, but how do you avoid the surprise of a high bill at the end of the month? Here's what I do. I rely on the guys over at Champion Energy. With their low-price, fixed-rate plans, there's never any surprises. Plus, the team at Champion sends me weekly usage reports with my projected bill amount. Again, no surprises. They also remind me when my contract is about to expire so I can lock in on low prices. Visit champion.energy to view a variety of fixed-rate offers. That's champion.energy. Promo code 1560. Promo code 1560.
This is Late Hits.
What if there were to be a conversation between Bill O'Brien and Jamie?
Not happening. Jadeveon Clowney's not going to say, yeah, Bill O'Brien screwed me, killed my value. Instead of paying me when they wanted to keep me and pay me, shipped me off to Seattle for a battle of Marshawn Lynch's old juice Skittles.
But what if Bill O'Brien mends the fence with J.D. Clowney and says, what can I do to bring you back to Houston? Because let's resign. Be real, the Texans defense, not scaring anyone.
If you ask me that, I'm Jadeveon Clowney, and I'm just looking at you straight face, and you ask me, well, it's Bill O'Brien, what can I do to bring you back to Houston? I'm going to say resign. What's the benefit of going back to Houston to play 1 year? Risk injury, the season might not be played out and finished, and you're playing for a guy who you think's a dick and you don't want to play for.
Late Hits with Patrick Creighton and Chasen Braddock. Weeknights from 7 to 9 on ESPN 97.5.
Hey, time to talk about Boomer Naturals. You know, you're hearing so much about the Gators. They're not that protective. Well, I'm going to tell you where it is protective, because they got the Nano Silver neck gaiters as well. So this is technology. When you hear, oh, these gaiters, they're not protecting, guess what? They are at Boomer Naturals. So this is where you get it, because there are other neck gaiters that aren't protecting you. They're made of different material, and they're not stopping the droplets from going into your mouth and nose. Well, the neck gaiters from Boomer Naturals are. So they have that same nano silver technology that you gotta have. There's no reason to wear a mask that's not protecting you. These are protecting you. And they last a month. The nano silver lasts a month. You can wash them every night, rinse them out, and wear them the next day. This is happening, and you need this protection. And this is happening at Boomer Naturals. So go to boomernaturals.com, put in promo code Granado. You get free shipping and handling when you spend at least $50 online at boomernaturals.com. You want that protection? You got that protection at boomernaturals.com.
You're listening to The Bench on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's John Granato and Lance Zierlein.
Okay, let's get Tom in here. He's been waited all the way through. Cole Kubelik. Boy, that guy is good. Cole is good.
Cole's great. When we have our conversations about football teams, like, and Aaron Taylor's really good. You know, he's a media guy. Duke Mannyweather's really good. I mean, it's... Jerry DiNardo will be on there sometime. Dave Harding, who does football for the ACC. We get some guys. Like, it's good conversations. I think Cole is ridiculously talented.
He really
and he's
is.
Passionate, as you can tell, about football.
Sharp.
Really passionate.
Let's get Tom in here. Hey, Tom, what's going on?
Hey, guys. Good morning. First off, Lance, that Greg Kelly podcast was really, really good.
Oh, did you like
never
that?
I did. I never thought I'd listen to a two-hour podcast, but yeah, I couldn't turn it off. So
yeah, it's a good one. And listen to the one we have with Alfredo Barrios. I didn't even know him, and I came off thinking this might be the best podcast we've done on Off Script. That guy was incredibly, interesting. A guy who was a lawyer, came from East Los Angeles. He went to Harvard Law School, became a lawyer, and then at age 29, he's billing more than anyone. He's like, eh. Somebody said, hey, will you read my script? Yeah, man, I'll read your script. I was a writer in high school. And he's like, oh, I could do this. So he quit being a lawyer to be a screenwriter. Like, well, what are you going to do? Like, I'll just do screenwriting. Okay, but do you have a lead on anything? No, I'll just figure it out.
That's great.
It's kind of an interesting. And he's the guy who runs Magnum PI, the show now. That's his show that he's producing. But anyway, thanks, Tom.
That out. Anyway, so about the guy that said, you know, the skids of life is going to be over. I don't want to get like overly dramatic, but you know, I just happened to be watching the latest Last Chance U on Netflix, and That's basically what it would be. You think about all those kids, and there's a bunch of them, and you multiply it by every level of community college on the way up, not talking these big, you know, power whatever schools. Those kids, like, the only reason they're doing that is for football. And the, you know, father figure, the discipline, everything else they get, that's where they get it. And if you just shut all those down, so, I mean, I guess you can figure out that, like the other guy was saying, it's, you know, it's going to delay everything for a long time, developmentally, and then, you know, all this, you know, sort of socioeconomic reasons as well. So, I mean, I'm a conservative. I'm not, like, into the government spending money, but apparently the government will spend money on anything. I would not have a problem with them basically bailing out sports programs, telling these guys, like, whatever you do, shut down, be safe, whatever you got to do, but you're going to be fine for a year, year and a half, 2 years, whatever it is. Keep all your guys there. Keep them all disciplined, working out, clean and healthy, and we'll figure out the getting back to sports later. Because I think the problems you're going to have if you shut all this down that will trickle down for years and hurt a lot of guys and girls and, you know, everybody else. It just costs too much. It'd be cheaper to bail them out, literally, than I think to let that just, you know, go through the system. So that's really all I had.
Yeah, I mean, you could see a lot of programs that are going to be and kids that otherwise would be going to college because they can play and get that education won't be. There are going to be a lot of programs, especially at the, you're right, at these smaller schools that have to have football money. I mean, it's just, there is going to be a tremendous trickle down effect. We'll see the bailout. I don't know. I'm that's above my pay grade. So I have no idea.
I watched The Last Chance U. I finished it from in Oakland. It's interesting. It's different. It's much different than the other ones because these are, it's a little more, the coach is more highly regarded and but yeah, I mean, every year people's lives change, not just with this, the COVID thing. I never thought, honestly, I know that the idea in our minds in spring, we're like, come on, by football, this is done, we're good. College football is going to go on. Pro football is going to go on. I fully expect pro football. College, you know, just not as sure right now, but it's unbelievable that this, you know what's really unbelievable to me? And this became obvious to me the first month of our shutdown was like, wow, everything is paycheck to paycheck. Mm-hmm. Our entire society is paycheck to paycheck. And now you look at sports. If you widen the lens out and you look over 30 years and you say, what if I tell you that 1 year football is not going to go on the same way it usually does? You'd say, oh, okay, well then, you know, the next year it will. And then you realize, no, the ramifications of not playing football. And we're not even talking about not playing football at all. We're talking about if you say, we can't play in the fall, but we're going to play in the spring. The complications involved with that are so substantial. We've talked about it now for 3 days or so. It's hard to actually put it in practice. I'm going through and looking at Wisconsin's weather. Like, can they play in February? Oh, the average high is 26. Okay, they would have to start on the road. They may have to play a home game at Minnesota in the Dome. You know, I think they could work around it. The high in Ohio is 40 in February. That's their average high. I do think Big Ten, there's going to be cold weather schools that will have to start on the road. That's, you know, same way you see that in baseball. You got to start on the road, and your first two games scheduled are probably going to have to be road games if you're in a cold weather state. I do think they can get football in the spring. I think it's doable. The problem still is your turnaround. Your turnaround, and then Cole Kubelik brought up what I hadn't even thought of. The springtime is when the lead up to the bowl season is basically a big developmental mm-hmm. time. Mm-hmm. It's huge. They do different installs. They get reps for guys who hadn't gotten reps all year. That's going to be gone. There's no way you have bowl games in the spring. There's no way. And then you don't have a spring practice, really. You can't ask these kids to come back. This isn't the Premier League where you can say, okay, you get like a month and a half off and then come back in. You got to give them as much time off as possible.
Right.
As much time off as possible before fall.
If you're really worried about their safety. If you're really worried. One development to watch, says Ian Rappaport, several top college football players are lining up agents and preparing to opt out.
Oh, this
should play out over the next few days and will alter who plays in the spring.
I wrote up Nico Collins yesterday from Michigan. I mean, I don't expect, he was a senior. He ain't sticking around. There's mm-hmm. no chance. Any of these seniors who are draftable are history from the Big Ten or the Pac-12. I'll have so many players written up by the end of September, it's a joke. And I don't even usually start until sometime in October.
Do you know offhand how many players you think Ohio State would lose.
Because they've lost a lot. There's not as many. There's not as many of the headliners this year. I think it would be probably from an opt-out standpoint. Now, you also have juniors, though.
That's what I mean.
Yeah. So you
like,
have
is Chris Olave a junior? Like, would he?
Yeah, I think he is.
So is, where is he? Do you have a thought about where he would be as far as a player?
Yeah. No, not yet. Not yet. I think Ohio State will probably lose anywhere from 6 to 8 players. I'm not talking about guys who may transfer to other schools. I mean, I'm just talking about
go to the draft.
Opt out and go to the draft. Like yeah.
I just put up a list. Ohio State's one of their many fan sites. 11 Warriors. Obviously, Justin Fields. Sean Wade, the corner who got thrown out of the game because he speared or nearly concussed Trevor Lawrence. Chris Olave. Wyatt Davis. These are all Josh Myers. Those are both interior linemen. And then they go to the seniors, which are pretty clear, like Baron Browning and Jonathan Cooper and Tuff Borland, Pete Werner. So at least from this list, they say there possibly could be 20 prospects. I don't know about they would actually get drafted.
So some of those guys need tape. Some of those guys need better tape, but it may not matter. And here's the thing. This is where the XFL is going to really, really benefit. Some of those, and I got this verified with an NFL source. Those guys who aren't pro prospects right now on tape, if they're not pro prospects now on tape and they leave early, they will not get drafted. Because there is going to be pro days, I would imagine, this year. So that does give you a better chance. Even if you're wearing a mask, I think you'll see pro days. So it gives them an outside chance. But I really do think the XFL, if they can get their stuff together quickly, they will have an opportunity with opt-outs saying, I'll take a payday and I will have a chance to get myself. And if they think they're really good, now here's the downside. If I'm an agent and I have my player over there, I'll say, look, I'll get you in over here. I won't take any of your contract here, 0%. But I only want you playing about 6 games and then you got to bolt. I don't want you taking any chances with health. The XFL may deal with some of that, but they're going to have more people looking to play the XFL football than ever before. I think that's going to be the case. They're going to have a big group of potential talent. If this guy from the spring league can get his idea going, that could end up being a huge league where basically Big Ten players all come to, and Pac-12 players and undrafted free agents who couldn't make an NFL roster because they couldn't get any reps, they come together on paper. Boy, that's a great idea in fall. I just have serious doubts that anybody can get all of that together this quickly. So, in the meantime, I'll be watching SEC.
As far as the XFL goes, you've already got your foundation. You've got your infrastructure set.
But I wonder if they're gonna, like, who's gonna pay? I don't think Cole got paid from the XFL. Who's gonna? Are those contracts? Does Rock have to honor that money?
Then they won't work for him this time.
The guys who get paid, they don't get taken care of.
I have no idea. I got mine. That's all I was worried about.
I know that's all you're worried about. But there may be some infrastructure issues that they have to get settled out too.
Yeah.
And are there going to be places where they said this place wasn't going to work? We overestimated.
Yeah, probably.
I would imagine.
L.A., New York.
Maybe contract. That's crazy. No L.A., New York. But why would L.A. and New York watch?
No, you know
they got two football teams already.
You know
in the pros.
Where it would be better is Memphis. Would be much better.
Yeah.
You know,
did they not have a team in Memphis?
No.
The AAF did.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Those are the kind of cities. Birmingham, Memphis.
Anywhere they didn't have, of course, you might also be going against college seasons, which would make it a little tougher.
Well, not in the South, probably. We'll see.
Yeah, you might be right.
Right. If this goes through. Yeah. If you're up against Memphis playing football on a Saturday, you can't compete. But if you're... But if Memphis plays this fall, then you know what? It'd be a perfect place to play. I think, you know, St. Louis was great. St. Louis, Seattle, Houston were the three biggest hits. Tampa was iffy. New York was not good. L.A. wasn't good. You can get this job done with a little tweaking. But to start up in other cities as opposed to L.A. and New York now might be a little bit difficult because you don't have all that much time. You've got the infrastructure in place on all the other places. So we'll see. We'll see what happens. But this is the time to strike for the XFL. I mean, Rock has got to get off his ass. He's got to stop making Jumanji movies and get a move on. That's all I'm saying.
I'm making what? Jumanji movies.
He has the money for the XFL because he makes Jumanji movies.
Well, now it's time to stop. He's got enough. Let's move along.
Which rich person have you met thinks they have enough?
Hmm?
Which rich person have you ever met that thought they had enough money?
Zero. Yeah. Zero.
So why would The Rock think he's
he's running this.
Well he's got a. You want to go get halfway through the year and him and not have enough money to pay people? Hope he keeps making movies.
No, I think he's fine. Actually, all the startup costs are over. I mean,
well,
thanks.
Do you know what
Vince
actual name is?
Dwayne.
What's his actual name?
Dwayne Johnson.
It doesn't matter what his name is. See what I just did there?
Yeah, but it's less effective.
No, it wasn't. It was very effective when
he
got Adele got it.
Well, you mean from The Rock? Effective when he does it.
Yeah, when The Rock called the show. Yeah, when The Rock called the show.
The Rock on a mobile.
Right.
Speaking of on a mobile, are we going to hear from
Lou Holtz? Yeah, top of the hour. Lou Holtz, you might want to play his comments when you get a chance. Dele caused a little bit of a stir yesterday.
Why? Why would he cause a stir?
Just some language. Just some
football is
imagery.
War. Gridiron.
Yep.
It's war. Football's war.
It kind of is. It really kind of is. How about Deion going to Barstool Sports?
That was huge.
Off of your network now.
That was huge.
How do you
feel
about that? Is it falling apart? Is the network NFL falling apart?
I don't think they're falling apart. I think they're going to be okay. But, I mean, they've taken their hit financially. So it was expected that during the summer, Michael Fabiano is no longer there, big fantasy football guy. That's unfortunate. But, yeah, it was expected that that might be the case. You know, that might be the case for some of the named talent to potentially go, and they let their contracts because it's just a cost-cutting move potentially. And plus, Deion doesn't do a whole lot. He shows up for the combine. Let me ask you a question, young man. Did you ever think you'd be this fast being white? I don't know. I didn't really think about it. Well, you're very fast for being white.
Yeah.
Very fast.
Deion has had a music career. Well, career is a stretch, but he's made a couple songs.
Must be the money.
Do you think since Dave Portnoy at times has seen himself as a rapper, and by that I mean just using lyrics from other people's songs and then saying the N-word, do you think they'll get together and make a song? You don't think so? Where Dave will say the N-word a couple times in the song and Deion's like, hey, that's my boy.
I don't feel like that's likely.
What?
No? Oh, you didn't see that story?
No.
Dave Portnoy, people unearth clips about him reciting rap lyrics and songs and then, you know, putting on a bit of an accent, quote-unquote the black accent, and using the N-word.
Wow.
In the songs.
That's interesting. Well, he and Deion can sing along.
That's why I'm asking. Do you think
a little sing-along.
Do you think they'll get together?
The payday Deion got from Barstool is probably substantial. Wouldn't even be surprised if they gave him some potential equity. Deion will be good with Barstool. I can tell you this. I never got a chance to. I don't think I ever got a chance to meet Deion, and that's one of the guys I really wanted to meet because Deion is actually very interesting. If you listen to Deion over the last couple years, you know he's had some very interesting videos where he talks about work ethic of younger players and he wants them to do this, that, and the other. Deion, I think Deion wants to be somewhere, and it's not like the NFL really limited Deion. He could say whatever he wanted, but he wasn't. You know, he was not a big part of their shows. He wasn't coming on. Just like Mike Mayock at one point was just like, the NFL Network wanted Mike Mayock to do much more. He's like, nah, I do this draft thing. This is what I do. And I'll do what I do, and you guys won't worry about it. And I said, yes, Mike. Same thing, I think, with Deion. That was the case. But Deion is a really interesting guy to listen to. He is a phenomenal storyteller, and I'm actually a fan of Deion. Being on those Combine broadcasts, and I got to listen, you know, to Deion a lot and in the stuff that was on air, off the air. Deion is really an intriguing guy to listen to, much more so than you would think. So yeah. I think that's a great hire for Barstool. Now, I don't know, you know, what it's costing. I don't know what the setup looks like, but yeah, it's should be interesting.
We're talking about a lot of different things. I will say, congrats to the MLS. They just finished their bubble. Obviously they had hiccups, and by the way, the two teams that had hiccups are actually playing today. Nashville and Dallas are playing a game, I think, in Dallas outside of the bubble. But the MLS just ended their bubble with no issues outside of that first scary week or so.
That's good.
Since then, no positive tests for multiple weeks, and I think Portland beat Orlando City for the MLS's back title. Now they're going to go into the regular season. So one bubble completed.
Well, see, and here, did you apparently Churchill Downs is going to have people. They're going to have fans. 14%. And they have a 62-page protocol for how they're going to do it, which
feels like overkill.
Nothing from nothing, Pac-12. You had a lot of time to put some stuff together.
And did nothing.
Nothing. Nice job, Pac-12. Nice job.
Why are you so mad at the Pac-12?
Because I want college football.
You
and
got
a bunch
SEC.
Of
what do you
bunch
care?
Of wussies.
You got SEC. You're just mad because you don't want to follow LSU this year.
Didn't you always feel?
Great president.
I'm like, oh yeah. Oh boy. God,
don't.
What's? And so I immediately had to check Twitter. Ed Ogeron was on Fox yesterday, and I think Trump's doing a great job. Trump's a great president. And so he immediately said, of all the times Ogeron had to be. He had to come off as you could understand everything he said. Oof. This guy said.
Yeah. So, because you know what? I honestly never felt like the Pac-12 would play.
No one believed the Pac-12.
No, no one. Honestly.
Nah.
Never.
They were the least
likely. Not with California, not the way that in Oregon and what's going on. I mean, there was zero chance to me. Zero chance.
And then when little brother gave them the go ahead to knock it off. They knocked it off.
Yeah.
We know Pac-12, we know who you are. You're the Big Ten's little brother. And if the Big Ten says we're not gonna play, you're not gonna play.
I mean, don't want to play either.
Yeah. We know.
I'm not gonna play. I'll go home with you. They can go home, mom's cooking dinner.
They can feign independence all they want, but we know the deal, Pac-12. We know who you are.
Time to talk about my peeps over at Hoops, Sporting Goals and Equipment. Let's talk basketball. You know who's doing it right? Basketball. Yes, that's right. Basketball's doing it right. And you can do it right, too, with the Hoops goal. The Hoops goal that lowers, and that's the most important thing. You can raise and lower the goal. So you got little kids. You got a nice house. You got a beautiful house. Go ahead and staple a backboard, a white backboard and rim to your garage. Looks like crap. It devalues your home. You want to add value, curb appeal to your home. You get the Hoops goal. And you put it in the backyard, whatever the case may be. You want the best goal for your kids. And the one that they can raise and lower, and one that they're guaranteeing. You can hang on that thing all day long, and guess what? It ain't going to break. It just doesn't break. And unrustable stanchion, the tempered glass backboard, everything is perfect. You're looking for the goal and all the accessories that they've got as well. Go to ProDunkHoops.com. Dad, kids want to play. They want to have fun. They don't want a 10-foot goal. They want one that can lower and raise so they can dunk. ProDunkHoops.com.
ESPN 97.5. Rethink how you manage cash flow and payments for your business. Choose a banking partner who provides secure and remote tools tailored for you. Never pay for something you don't need. We're Veritex Community Bank. True to your business. True to Texas. VeritexBank.com. Member FDIC.
Support the Houston Fire Department when you purchase any of the Firehouse Series coffees from Katz Coffee. Go to katzcoffee.com and check out their locally roasted coffees for a cause. Use promo code ESPN20 for 20% off. Order now at katzcoffee.com.
Hey, everybody, John Granato here. Some great stuff going on at Chastain Ford. 0% financing for 72 months for most 2019 and 2020 SUVs and all 2020 F-150s. 0% for 84 months on all 2019 F-150s as well. Hey, you can shop at home, too, at ChastainFord.com. Customize your own payment. Value your trade. Get pre-approved. Schedule a test drive and video walk-arounds as well. All at ChastainFord.com or visit them in their showroom, 610 at Homestead, not Hempstead, 5 minutes from downtown.
At ESPN 97.5, we wear Boomer Naturals masks. Order now at BoomerNaturals.com and use promo code ESPN Houston for 20% off. Listening to The Bench on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's John Granato and Lance Zierlein.
Well, it was an eventful day yesterday. An eventful day indeed. College football lost two conferences for the at least the fall. They say they will postpone and play in the spring. We'll see how that works out. The Pac-12 and the Big Ten, both gone. You have the Astros took a lead and squandered a lead thanks to a bullpen that couldn't get it done. Even Blake Taylor wasn't good. That's when you know things are going bad, when Blake Taylor doesn't do well. Ryan Pressly, this ain't the Ryan Pressly that the Astros had a couple of years ago. That's for sure.
None of the staff is.
Yeah, but Ryan is particularly bad.
Yeah, well,
relative to where
Cy
he was,
Snead is particularly. Josh James is particularly bad.
Cy Snead's never been.
Well,
no.
But you have to count on some guys that have even a little bit of an experience.
Well, Josh, to
they've
me,
they've got zero guys that have experience that are performing.
Do you
performing.
Wish Devo was here?
Yeah, right now, yeah.
That's how this.
That's how bad it is. No, your best pitcher is a scrub.
Did you? It's not a scrub. His name is Andre Scrub.
Oh, it's a period scrub. It's a scrub.
No, it's a scrub. When you
I like to say
I know you do, but when you look at his name, listen, no one goes a scrub. A scrub.
He's a scrub. Okay, he's a scrub.
No.
That's your best pitcher.
Andre Scrub. Nice job, Andre Scrub.
Barstool called to hire Lance. It's Forrest Gump running after the car.
What are y'all paying? They got a model that works, but whatever. It's just a really tough situation. Unfortunately, I saw Jose Altuve trending again on. There he is. He's still trending on Twitter. 7,000. Wow. Don't even want to click it because it's terrible.
Get over it.
It's terrible.
Get over
Why
it.
Why is Altuve taking all the? Because of the stupid.
Because
don't
of
tear
the
my shirt. Because of this video. Yeah.
Yes, that's
don't
it.
Tear my
that's
shirt.
It. Yes.
The whole thing is that.
Yeah. Yes, that's exactly it. That's it.
I'm going to have to read this article, What Losing Football Would Mean for College Towns. It's in the Texas Tribune. I'm going to see this, read this article. That's probably pretty, you know, that is something that is college football in college towns, the revenue that comes in on the weekends for hotels, the amount of hotel revenue that they get from people from around the state coming in. It's not even just the road team coming in. It's people from around the state who will come in, like into College Station, for example. And that's, maybe that's not one that we should be using. Maybe we should use one that's, State College. How many people come in from across the state of Pennsylvania or surrounding states for those games? They pack the hotels in. Why would people go to State College now if you're not going to a football game? Like I mean, realistically, it's going to be way, way lower. The businesses that all have booming Fridays and Saturdays, and to a lesser extent Sundays, all the restaurants and things like that.
Everything.
Of course, you know, restaurants are down anyway, but those entertainment businesses are booming on those days.
Absolutely.
Now, it might not have been booming in the fall, but, you know.
Just the college football season makes it boom. During the week, you want to go out, you want to talk about your team. Remember when the Rockets and the Astros were in the playoffs? Bars and restaurants are out, and they want to talk about their teams. And it's exciting, and you want to go out more. You want to entertain more. You want to be with your friends more. It's just more fun. It just is. Not having a football season at Penn State. It's going to be in Columbus. It's going to be devastating.
What if you gave athletes, you said, everyone who plays, now this would have to be from the government, and I'm sure it's probably not even constitutional. And in fact, the pushback you would get from the general public, in our bubble, I can say this, the general public would say, who don't care about college football, they would say, excuse me? You're going to give athletes $10,000 of stimulus for 4 months? No, absolutely not. So this couldn't happen. I mean, Congress would lose their mind. But let's say you told every athlete who played college football, because you are doing this, we are going to give you, on top of your stipends you get from your college, you're going to get anywhere from $6,000 to $10,000 additional revenue if you play college football. We understand that you can certainly opt out. If you do play, this is what you're going to make. They may have something in place where you only get this. It's a per-game basis, so that if you get injured, you don't get this. If whatever the case may be. What if that were in place? I would think a lot of players would say there would be some opt outs. There'd be other guys who say, I'm gonna stay and do this. I wonder if conferences would say, players, is this good if we stay? Because, for example, reopening Texas universities, it says what losing football to COVID-19 would mean for Texas college towns, quote, it's like losing Christmas. Economists said canceling football would be devastating to local businesses that rely on the huge influxes of cash from home games. Meanwhile, athletic officials weigh whether they can risk the health and welfare of student athletes. So this is an article in the Texas Tribune, and they talk about this. And they talk about College Station, Fort Worth, Lubbock, cities like that. Now, right now, those conferences are all playing as of now, if they shut down. But think about this. If you're a small business owner, and let's say you're in Waco, and you're a small business owner, and this is what you're saying, we are, in this entire time, we are getting the living crap kicked out of us financially, like everyone is, like all restaurants and bars are, all of them. But in the back of your mind, you think, you know, even with restrictions, our business is really going to pick up during the football season, at least for, depending on the schedule, at least for anywhere from 5 to 7 weeks, we're going to have a big influx, and it will at least help us out. We'll be able to get our money from then. Even if it's restricted, it's going to be way, way better than what we're making now. If you then take away that, they will have almost no money from March, or the middle of March, all the way through undetermined, indefinite. Mm-hmm. You'll see businesses shut down in those college towns because they just won't be able to sustain because they're probably waiting on that football money. And if those seasons cancel, they're going to really take a hit there.
It's going to be terrible. I'm telling you, this is all those businesses. It was such a deflating day for so many college communities with the Big Ten's decision. Just so deflating.
University of Texas at Austin reported in 2015 it had a local economic impact of more than $63 million per home game on the city.
Wow. Wow. Did you see, now, I'm not sure that he's the spokesman, but Ryan Day, the head coach of Ohio State, asked if the Buckeyes are open to exploring another conference to play in. If that's the only option at the time, we need to explore it.
If you're the Big Ten, it probably looks bad. I don't know how delicate that situation is. You certainly don't want to lose the Ohio State long term.
I don't think Kevin Warren makes it through this.
Would you allow, you might be right, would you allow, especially if things go off without much of a hitch, it will really be tough. Would you allow...
Right, and Larry Scott as well from the Pac-12. He's going to...
be like, oh,
well, he's already got to deal with the players. We are united. They're not thrilled with his response to really anything. So that'll something he'll have to try to tamp down. And then you have this. Now, they asked Bill Hancock about a playoff. He goes, they said initially, it'll be very hard to do it without all these teams. So let's say we go with, let's say it's the Southern schools want to play. We haven't heard from the WAC. We assume the WAC isn't going to play just because they're a small conference out west, but who knows? Let's say it's a Southern college football season with some of the teams from the ACC like Syracuse and Boston College playing because they're in that conference. Would they hold a playoff for the Southern schools only?
Well, here's the deal. Mark Emmerich already said, well, but that's, it's different because it's NCAA.
Yeah.
But fall sports, any sport, you have to have more than 50% of the schools participating. And right now, 53 have opted out of 150.
Is 150?
150.
Division one school?
I thought
it was 130.
That's what ESPN was reporting this morning.
Okay, so you're still, but...
I'm with you. I think it's more like 125 to 30.
Yeah, maybe 153 schools overall. I don't know where they got the number.
Well, now, 125, now that's college FCS. Football. That's FCS.
Yeah.
FBS. There's all kinds of schools that don't play football.
Okay, that's true. Like Villanova.
Villanova and all those schools.
They don't play FCS. Yeah, you're right. They're maybe not Villanova per se, but yeah, you're right about that. St. John's doesn't play, I guess.
Right.
So what Bill Hancock was kind of wishy-washy on whether they would hold a playoff. But my bigger thought is, if they do hold a playoff, because we get through a season relatively unscathed, and you see maybe see two SEC schools, and it's just a Southern, it's a Southern playoff. What will that do to the Big Ten if they look out on in January and they see a playoff going on?
Well, it would devastate them. But in the long term, there's a micro view and a macro view. The macro view is, if a vaccine, and there was Moderna was contracted for, they were given, 100 million doses yesterday that came out. And that's one that's really, I just saw an article. They're the ones, they're the vaccine that basically, it's this RNA, it's a technology, or it's a biomedical creation that allows your body to become a vaccine-making machine. Like, this could be huge across the board for all kinds of diseases and things like that. But if it goes well, then Big Ten football, it's going to take a hit in the short term. I almost don't even talk about Pac-12.
No.
But eventually it'll go back to normal.
There are kids. Now, Ohio State has already had a huge commit that's decommitted this morning.
Yeah, a four-star. Wait, this morning?
Yeah, I know you're talking about. He's a four-star.
It
was yesterday.
Defensive end.
Yeah, he decommitted.
Did you hear why he was excited about Ohio State? This kind of lets you know. He said, man, I can't wait to be going to Ohio State. He basically said he was going there because it could help because of the brand. He wants to build his brand, his likeness, the revenue generation because of the new agreement to allow players to use their likeness. He was going to Ohio State because it would help him build his brand, and he thought he could make money that way. So I'm sure he looks at this as a lost opportunity at revenue.
Yeah.
And so he's going to go to some revenue-generating school.
SEC school that's going to generate you money.
As a freshman four-star, you really making money in year one?
If you're sacking the quarterback, it'll start.
Was
he an O-lineman?
The legislation is going to go through on you being able to use your likeness by the time this kid is a junior. So he's going to be able to benefit from that.
Yeah, but couldn't you in the Big Ten?
But you're right. Listen, Ohio State is still going to get kids. Yeah. And they don't play this year. There's still going to be kids that are going to go, I'm going to Ohio State. It's not in the short term. They're going to lose some guys like this. But now the Rutgers and the Northwesterns they weren't getting them anyway. They're not getting them anyway.
It's just another quiver. An arrow for the Southern schools. Alabama's like, Ohio State can talk about being committed to football,
right?
But we are.
Yep.
So when those battles take place,
that's right.
Those are the questions Ohio State's going to have to answer. Wait a minute, how committed are you to football? Considering I just watched Alabama win a national title, you couldn't even play.
Now let's not forget, God forbid something happens.
It'll flip.
It could flip where you don't care about those kids. That's all you care about is making money.
So I'm saying that's the danger.
That's the danger. The SEC and the Big 12 and ACC
are facing. You will never live that down.
No. If something, God forbid, something happens at your school and a kid, God forbid.
If a kid goes on a ventilator, it's going to be covered 24 hours a day nonstop by news entities that want you to fail.
I get it, but I've said it before. I said it, I think, last night in the chat. If college campuses are open, if you can't trace that to a football event, what if the kid went to a party? Is that a football thing then?
It'll be considered one, but you're right. Realistically, it's hard to trace.
Or if another teammate went to a party and gave it to him,
then they would probably call it a football thing because they wouldn't be together.
Because they were still together.
Let's break it. Bradley wants to talk about a super conference, which would be interesting. Look, there's some interesting stuff that could come of this football season, provided everyone or school stay in and play. An interesting football season, an interesting playoff scenario. There's some things to talk about. Bradley, we see you. I want to tell you about Men's Tea Clinic. It's never too late for you to get restarted, to kind of hit reset on whatever is going on with you right now. Just keep this in mind. For men who lose the lean muscle mass or your energy level or maybe your libido drops, there's a lot of things that can happen to you. And Men's Tea Clinic understands that. And the reason is because your testosterone levels drop. More cases than not, if you experience one or more of these, your testosterone level has dropped below a level that is really healthy for you. And Men's Tea Clinic can get you back from a health standpoint and from a quality of life standpoint. They test you. They get results in minutes. And then once you have those results, they will create a a program that is going to be right for you and for your body so that you can really take advantage of getting back to the real you. You'll see increased muscle mass. Your workouts, you get through them better. You start to lose some of the belly flab, and it can make a big impact in your libido as well. Menstclinic.com. Be you. Find you again. Menstclinic.com. Five locations in the Houston area. Menstclinic.com.
To call into the HRNP listener line, dial 713-780-ESPN. Looking to outsource your company's HR and payroll? Get the top initiative and smart solutions with HRP.net.
Progressive presents the